Can you believe it's December the 6th, the last month of 2015, Christmases are coming. Let me do a sample poll. Who has an advent calendar in their house? Wow, you Christmassy lot. Okay, who has a Christmas tree up? Wow, you guys are keen. Who's finished their Christmas shopping? I think you should stand up. Stand up if you've finished your Christmas shopping. Wow! That is, from a man who has yet to begin, that is quite impressive. Amen. What we're going to be looking at today is the topic of living to please. Okay, that's what we're going to be sharing about today. Now, I don't know what the first person you remember living to please. Yeah? Maybe cast your mind back. Who am I as an adult, maybe back to your childhood. Who is the first person you consciously remember living to please? Making a choice. I'm going to please that person. Okay, this was mine. Because I was told that good boys got presents at Christmas time. Okay, so I wanted presents. So I needed to please Father Christmas in order to get lots of presents. And it seemed to work. And I lived with this idea for quite a long time, actually. And I don't actually think I've quite got rid of it because it's so entrenched. Okay, but living to please. Okay, so I was living to please Father Christmas so I could get some presents. You know, there are other people we choose to please. You know, school kids, teenagers, students, the teacher. Yes, that apple has appeared from somewhere. Okay, we live to please the teacher. Why? Because we want them to be on our side. We want to get good grades. We want them to overlook our mess, okay, and our lateness and all the rest of it. So we aim to please other people. We please relationships, boyfriend, girlfriend, or if we want a boyfriend or a girlfriend, we please. We buy roses, we write poems, we talk, we phone, we text, we over communicate, we just do everything. And then we get married, and in our marriage vows we include a vow of silence and a vow of poverty, okay? And we never speak to our spouse ever again, okay? Hopefully not, all right? But other person we can please is the boss, yeah? I found this. Boss, I would thank you from the bottom of my heart, but for you, my heart has no bottom. For a boss who is always there for me. Amen. I think that's kind of pleasing the boss in an incredible way, okay? But it's good to go out of our way to please our boss, okay? Because we want to get something. In fact, all of these things, Father Christmas, the teacher, boyfriend, girlfriend, the boss. Why do we aim to please? Because we want to get something. That's just, is that only me? Am I the only completely selfish one in the room, okay? But honestly, I think that's what we're motivated. If I please somebody, I will get something. Yeah? And often it's from a position of insecurity or fear, okay? Now, it might be quite low level. We're a bit afraid of the boss. We're a bit afraid of the teacher. We're a bit afraid of Father Christmas, okay? So we go overboard to really try and please because we come from that place of insecurity and fear. You know what? It's the same with God. It's the same with God. You know, we often start with a position of insecurity and fear. We don't really understand God. And then we learn a little bit and we understand actually we're in a pretty bad spot in relation to God. So we go out of our way to please him so we can get something, salvation. And also we get a whole lot of other things. We get a purpose, we get a family, we get hope. But really a lot of our focus on why we're pleasing is to get something. Is that fair enough? Yeah. Are we all in the same boat? Yeah. Awesome. Okay. Here's the problem with that. Pleasing to get something is all about, it's really only about, it's a short-term relationship. It's a short-term relationship because we'll ultimately end up getting what we think we need. And then why do we need that relationship anymore? Because we've got everything we want. Plus, the other person will start to figure out, actually, you're only pleasing me to get stuff. Yeah, and that's not gonna lead to a long-lasting relationship. So for any long-term relationship, we have to learn to please just to please. Not please to get. We have to learn to please purely for the purpose of pleasing. So the focus switches from me pleasing you for my pleasure, to me pleasing you for your pleasure. Yeah, and it's exactly the same with God. Exactly the same. It's the same with any relationship. And the great thing about our God, the God of the Bible, is he wants a relationship with us. It's not just an issue of obeying stuff. That's a part of it. But it's so much deeper than that. It's about having a relationship. And if we want a long-term relationship with God, we have to learn to please to please. And that's really what we're going to focus on today. Okay, in Ephesians 5, we read, it says, "Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you, there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a person is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore do not be partners with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord." Okay, so here's a passage from the book of Ephesians. Paul's writing to the church, really teaching them lots of different things. But you get a sense in this passage there are some things that please God and some things that don't please God. And he's addressing both of them. Okay, so basically the green bits, they're the things that please God. Okay, green, G, God. Okay, it's all color coordinated, okay? And blue is bad, all right? It's as simple as that. So all the green bits are, those are the things that please God. And the blue bits are the things that don't please God. Is that fair enough? Okay, let me present that in a different way. Okay, so this is a Venn diagram. Amen. All right. So, we have the green circle, and everything in the green circle is things that please God. And everything in the blue circle is everything that pleases me or you. Okay? And because we are not the manifestation of total evil, there is an overlap in the middle. Okay? The bit in the middle, this bit here. You got that? Yeah. Awesome. Let me just do a quick poll. Who is pleased by this? Who is pleased?
Who is pleased?
Give yourselves a maths GCSE. Okay, fantastic. Okay. So, what we're going to do is, okay, that's God circled. God is green. Blue is bad, and that's me. That's not very encouraging. Okay. So we're going to list the things we just read in the relevant circle, okay? So the things that God doesn't like, sexual immorality, impurity, greed, obscenity, foolish talk, coarse joking. Okay, so if not in God's circle, that means they must be in my circle. Now you look at that list and you think, we don't boast that we like those kind of things. Yeah, but I think deep down, yeah, there's a part of us that just loves this stuff. Yeah, and it's quite embarrassing to stand here and say, well, you know what, I actually like all of these things. I wish I didn't, but I do. You know, one of the things in any relationship is honesty. Yeah. Complete honesty. And in a relationship with God, it starts with honesty. It starts with understanding who we are, what pleases me, and what pleases God, and what pleases the both of us. Okay? So those things are things that clearly do not please God, but unfortunately they please me. I don't do them very often, or hopefully at all, but that's because I choose not to, not because I don't like them. If you know what I mean? Yeah? So we look at the other things it mentions. Love. Now God likes love, but I also like love. So that So the bit of it comes in the middle bit, okay? Because I like love, so it comes in the intersection, the bit in the middle, so we both like love. But God's love is so much bigger than my love. Yeah, so yes, we share a bit of it, but God's is so much more. Similarly, Thanksgiving pleases me, but it really pleases God to a whole nother level. Right, goodness. I like it when people are good to me. I like being good some of the time. But God takes it to a whole nother level. Righteousness, similarly, I like that. Righteousness pleases me. But the degree of righteousness that pleases God is so much more. Truth, we've talked about that. I don't lie all of the time, at least hopefully none of the time. I mean, I like truth. Truth pleases me. So we get an idea of there are some things that please God and please us. But there are also some things that only please us and doesn't please God at all. Yeah. Now, the end of Ephesians 5, it says, and find out what pleases the Lord. Now, I don't know whether when we looked at that list, it was a surprise, yeah, that God is pleased and not pleased by that. Oh, I didn't know that. Maybe you did. You know, one thing about God is that we can't assume that God is pleased by the same things as us. So what the Bible calls us to do is to find out. Don't just assume. Don't just assume, because we feel totally fine about it, even in our conscience. Doesn't mean we can assume that God is pleased by that. So the admonition is to find out what pleases the Lord. Now, if you're visiting with us today, let me encourage you to find out. The place we find out is in the Bible. Let me encourage you to study the Bible for yourself. Even better, ask one of the people in the church to show you what they've learned from the Bible. But having a spirit about I really want to find out. No, when you really want to please somebody, you don't just do what you think will please them. You find out what actually pleases them. I've made that mistake many times in my marriage. Of course my wife will be happy with this. No. I made mistakes like that with family. We're a cross-cultural relationship. I'm very much English. Jemima, the family, is very much Ghanaian. And it's like this. There's bits that overlap and bits that don't. And something I'm convinced pleases me is a catastrophe as far as the family is concerned. So I've had to learn. I've had to find out, not just assume. Okay, so we're encouraged to do the same with the Lord. Question then is flesh or spirit? So you could say the spirit is the green circle, the flesh is the blue circle. The flesh is what really just pleases us kind of at our most animal level, okay? And the spirit is what really pleases the spirit, what really pleases God. Now there's an interesting passage in Romans 8, differentiating between the two and how we discern thing and how we handle the fact there are two different circles. It says, those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. So again, it's a scripture about pleasing God. And one way we can definitely please God, and another way we can definitely not please God. We understand that. So what do we do? Well, the answer is it's all about our mind. It's where you set your mind. That's the key. Yes, we have things in our character that please us that do not please God. And we know from the Bible there are things that absolutely please God. What do we do about that? We set our mind to please God. That's what we do. We set our mind. Let me show you a little illustration here. So, back to the circles. Green is what pleases God. Blue is what pleases me. The bit in the middle, what pleases both of us. So this was my mind before Christ. Okay? So what I chose to do. So I chose to be just me. Just please me. Just please me. Oh, a bit of accidentally pleasing the both of us. Pleasing the both of us. Please me, please me. Oh, accidentally. Bit of religious experience. Back to pleasing me, pleasing me. Please God. Bit of religious experience. Back to pleasing me, pleasing me. A bit of accidentally pleasing both of us. Okay. So that's the mind controlled by the flesh. Look where the emphasis is. It's on me. It's on pleasing me. Yep. Now let's look at after Christ. Good start. Okay, so we're in the bit. Oh, a bit of faithful, pushing myself, denying myself, living for the Lord. Oh, messed up. Oh, rebounded. Great stuff for God. Got proud. Seriously messed up. Messed up again. Repented. Fantastic. Back to normal. Really reaching out. Okay. The mind controlled by the Spirit. Get the idea? The emphasis is completely different. So we can look at both of them. The before and the after. So the before, the mind controlled by the flesh, is all about me. And not to the exclusion of God. But what's the pattern? The pattern is very clearly me. The mind after, amen. I'm still battling with me, but there's a lot more effort going in to pleasing the Lord. And not just doing what we both find pleasing, okay? But actually doing things that I actually don't find pleasing, but God finds it pleasing. So I'm going to do that. I'm going to deny myself. I'm interested in living to please, not myself, to please God. So I'm willing to do things that don't please me for the sake of pleasing God. That makes sense. Okay. The Bible told us to find out what pleases the Lord. You know, there's a great passage in Colossians chapter 1, verse 9 to 14. It says, "For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." So this is Paul. Now he's writing to the Colossian church, writing to the Christians. And he's basically saying, I'm praying for you. I've not stopped praying for you. Why? Because he wants them to live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way. And then he lists some things. Bearing fruit in every good work. Growing in the knowledge of God. Being strengthened for great endurance and patience. And giving joyful thanks to the Father. So we have a little bit more information about what does it mean to live to please the Lord. Here are four things. Let's look into these things. So that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way. Number one was bearing fruit in every good work. What does that mean? Well, if you look back in Colossians 1 verse 6, he uses this word fruit. So that this sets the context of that use of the word. It says the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world. You know, the God's idea of giving the good news to the world was to save souls. And for those souls who were saved to then be a part of the process of saving souls. And it's a part of the gospel transforms us as individuals, but also is to transform humanity so that everybody has the chance to become a Christian. So if we are to be a part of bearing fruit in every good work, and the bearing fruit is all about the gospel growing, a big part of that, not all of it, but a big part of that is really saying, am I participating in the spread of the gospel? Am I participating in that? Am I bearing fruit in every good work? The fruit that God wants are souls. That's what he's after. The second thing that was listed is growing in the knowledge of God. Studying and being taught the Bible. That's a good place to start. Not just studying it ourselves, but being open to being taught it. Because there's some things we aren't perhaps never going to understand if we just study ourselves. But if we're really interested in finding out what it has to say, we're going to be interested in learning from others, being taught. So that's a big part of that. And another thing about growing in the knowledge of God is obeying. It's one thing to read something and get an idea what it means, but then to put it into practice, you get a whole different idea of what it really means. And that's why we're called to obey, so that we can
we can really understand God, really grow in the knowledge of God. Now, thirdly, it talks about being strengthened so that you may have great endurance and patience. Now, the interesting thing here is it doesn't imply that, you know what, it's tough to start with, but then it gets easier. No. It's all about endurance. You need to keep going, not slowing down. Endurance is about keeping moving, keeping going, not slowing down. And patience, not giving up. Yeah, just we'll be patient for long as it takes, not deciding I'm going to be patient for this period, and if it doesn't happen then, well, that's just tough. But having that increasingly, having endurance and patience. That's a tough one for us older Christians, been around for a while. Yeah, are we still enduring like we were 5, 10, 15, 20 years ago? Has our endurance grown? Yeah, are we still patiently waiting for the things we hope for? Or have we just given up because it didn't happen in our time frame? Are we mindful of, you know what, I'm going to trust in God's time frame? That's a good question for us. And the fourth one, giving joyful thanks to the Father. Joyful. No, joy is one of the fruits of the Spirit. Yeah, and if those of us who are disciples have the full measure of the Spirit in us, well, that person only got 25% of the Holy Spirit, and this person got 33%. No, you get the whole measure of the Spirit, and the Spirit is joyful. If we are not joyful, it's not because the Spirit is messing up. It's because we're suppressing. We're not letting the Spirit do its work within us. We are holding it back. Yeah? And one of the keys of living to please God is being joyful. Yeah? You know, a lot of people, as they get older, often get more grumpy. I'm not going to look at anybody in particular, okay? We get grumpy. Our bodies ache. Our eyesight go. My hearing is starting to go, and my eyesight is starting to go. It's a sad state of affairs, okay? But there you go. I'm trying not to be grumpy. But we get grumpy. Things don't work out the way we thought, the way we prayed for. Hasn't worked out, and we get grumpy. Are we growing in grumpiness? Are we growing in joy? The Spirit is a spirit of joy. Interesting thing about all of these words, bearing, growing, being, giving, they're all present tense words. It doesn't say bore fruit, grew, was, gave. It's present tense. Are you now bearing? Are you now growing? Are you now being strengthened? Are you now giving joyful thanks? That's what he's talking about. Because the emphasis, again, is live a life worthy of the Lord. It's about live a life. Live a life. Not just do some things. Have part of your schedule. Have part of your heart. It's about your life. The entirety of your existence. That's what he's talking about, living a life. So where we live, where we work, what we do, what our money is for, what our time is for, what our relationships are for, are all of those things a part of a life that's focused on the Lord, pleasing the Lord in every way? Now, one of the things that convicted me about this is this word worthy. Am I living a life worthy? Is the expression of my life, is what I do in my life communicating to God, what you did for me is worth all of this? Is that what we're communicating? You know, we communicate with words and deeds. You know, what God looks at is our heart and our deeds. That's the language God uses. That's how we communicate with God a lot of the time. It's not just what we say. What's the picture we're giving with our life? Are we communicating, God, what you did for me was so incredible. It is the most valuable thing you have given me, my salvation through Jesus. I want to communicate that
that was worth a lot to me. That is the thing I'm most, that is the most worthy thing in my life. Is my life saying that? No, that got me when I started to think about that. But that's what we're called to do. Live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way. One of the interesting things that happens when we're doing these things in the present, you know, bearing, growing, being, giving, if we're actively going about it in the present, something amazing happens. Okay, so I'm going to take the example of prayer. All right, so again, what God's circle, my circle, the intersection. So in the area of prayer, when I was a young Christian, I found prayer, I prayed like a stranger. I didn't really know God. Why am I stood in this room talking to air? Kind of, in fact, when I was a few months after being a Christian, I went to live in Milton Keynes for a little while. I used to lodge with a family, and I bent, for some strange reason, I went into the greenhouse to pray because I thought that would be private. But amen. Greenhouses, never mind. Okay. But anyway, so I would go into the greenhouse and pray, and it'd be weird because every other conversation I've ever had with anybody was, they were there. Or at least they're on the phone, but I understood that. Kind of, I had faith to believe that there is a real person on the end of this telephone. But with God, faith was low. So I prayed like a stranger. I was worn out after 5 minutes. Okay, I couldn't think of anything else to say. It's like when we meet a stranger, kind of, we don't know them. We don't know what to talk about. Yeah. Now, praying definitely pleases God. And at that point in time, praying like a stranger was what pleased me. Anything more than that was just, wasn't me. It didn't please me. And I was conscious that, okay, I can pray like an acquaintance. That's more pleasing to God, but it's not really pleasing to me at the moment. And beyond that, there's praying like a friend. And beyond that, there's praying like a son. Yeah, when you read the Bible, you get the idea of it. Prayer is a big deal for God. But if we put these principles in mind, if we don't just focus on us and don't just put our mind to what we like and God likes. But if we focus on, I'm going to forget about me. I'm going to focus on pleasing God. I'm going to do the things that pleases God, even if they don't please me. So I'm going to focus on praying like an acquaintance. I'm going to focus on my prayer life. I'm going to work at my prayer life. It's outside what pleases me. It's definitely inside what pleases God. But when you do that, this happens. That thing now becomes something that now actually pleases you too. So because the only thing the Bible promises, we get transformed. When we aim at something and work on it, we become like that. So when we aim at qualities of God, even though we don't like it ourselves, but we aim at it in a period of time, we actually start to like it. So we work on it, we keep reaching out, we keep growing in our prayer life, working on our prayer life. It feels a bit awkward, but it's pleasing God. We're doing the bit that pleases God, and we grow. Now we start to pray like a friend. And we have a relationship with God. This is our friend. And then we work at it some more and put ourselves out there. And now we develop the relationship God has wanted all along. We pray like a son or a daughter. This is why God encourages us. It's please me. It's actually good for us to focus on pleasing God. You know, I had another insight in my married life. It's kind of similar to talking. I have some block on talking, I think. So when I got married to Jemima, we weren't exactly strangers, okay? But communicating regularly was, that's, I don't know, 5 minutes is enough, surely. Kind of, how can anybody want to talk more than that, okay? That pleased me, but it didn't please Jemima, okay? But at least we were talking about having some time to talk, so there was the overlap. But so I decided I'm going to please my wife wants to, it would please my wife if we talked more. It doesn't please me, but it pleases her. So we'll work on that. Okay, and then you suddenly work on it, and suddenly you become more able to converse and communicate and share things. And so you keep working on it and working on it and working on it. You know what, now I have to phone my wife up to talk. If I get emotional, I need to speak to, where's my wife? I've got to speak to my wife. What has happened to me? But I've been transformed. Yeah,
That's the way we are in relationships. Relationships, God's just the same. We focus on pleasing God. I don't care if it pleases me. I'm going to please God. And then that thing will become part of what actually pleases me. And then we continue to grow in that way. It's fantastic. Now, let's look at Jesus. Because he had a circle as well, okay? So it was the Father, the green circle, and Jesus, the blue circle, okay? And they weren't completely over one another, okay? We know that Jesus was able to be tempted, okay? If that was a real thing, and he genuinely had to be able to do that, so he could... Did you see that star? It was awesome, wasn't it? Look at that. Okay, so that is an area where Jesus could have done what pleases himself and not please his Father. So he did have the capacity to do that. You know, that would be Gethsemane. That would be the clearest example of that. It definitely did not please Jesus to go and die on the cross. But it pleased his Father. So that's where he set his mind. Yeah, outside of his own circle, but inside the Father's. You know, the scriptures say an amazing thing about Jesus. It says, this is Jesus speaking, "The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him." I always do what pleases him. So you think about the circles, that's where Jesus always was. He spent his life in the green circle. Now, that inspires me. Yeah, that's why Jesus is my Lord. If I can be like Jesus, if I can understand Jesus, if I can do the things Jesus does or did and said, then I'm going to live a life that is going to please the Lord. And little by little, by little, by little, I'm going to get to the point prayerfully where I always do what pleases him. Now, that's my goal. I hope that's your goal too. Now, we've been talking about living to please God. I hope you've learned some things today. Let me encourage you to think about these things, study these things, talk about these things. But really, be a people, a person that I'm going to choose to live my life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way. Amen. Thank you.
You know, there's a reason why we have different brothers from time to time come up to preach, because we all think differently and we're able to present things in different ways and so to meet a variety of needs. And I always love hearing Paul preach because he comes out with things and he presents things in ways that never would occur to me in a million years. But it really touches me in a way that that really resonates and connects. And I think we should have Paul preach a lot more next year, is my personal feeling. I tried to persuade him to preach a lot more this year, but he was very busy. But he's been working towards that. So that's our collective East Region New Year's resolution, is to have Paul preach on a consistent, regular basis. Is that right, Paul? Okay, good. He's living to please all of us now, which is fantastic. I didn't want to mention, you know, he said he's starting to lose his hearing, he's starting to lose his eyesight. I didn't want to mention that he's starting to lose his memory as well, because he forgot to mention he's losing his hair and, you know. But I didn't want to mention that, so I'm not going to. But I do want to say that it is good for us to be reminded of what it means to live to please God. And those questions that Paul asked, you know, are we participating in the spread of the gospel, Colossians 1:6? You know, are we growing in the knowledge of God? Are we studying our Bible? Are we living to obey? Are we putting it into practice? Are we being strengthened? Are we patiently enduring? And are we joyfully giving thanks to God continuously? You know, there's some good questions to ask, and if at any of those you feel like, wow, I can really work on those or improve in this area, then let me encourage you, find someone to help you. Because we can try and do things on our own, but it always goes so much better when we have a partner in the struggle. When we have the people alongside, Ecclesiastes 4 talks about how two are better than one. because we get a good return for our work. And so I would encourage us, let's really apply the things that we've learned today and let's put them in practice and let's really make decisions to live to please God. Let's thank Paul once again for a fantastic lesson. Really, really appreciate it. Next Sunday, it's the first of our Christmas services. The children will be playing a significant role in the service next week. And let me encourage you, use the invitation cards that we have to invite your friends, your neighbors, your work colleagues, relatives, family members, just to really make it an incredible day. It's going to be a fantastic time. You don't want to miss out. And then the following Sunday after that is the last Sunday before Christmas. So can you believe that we've only got two more Sunday services before Christmas? And that will be our Christmas carol service. So again, let's be inviting our friends and family and neighbors to that. At this time, we're going to go ahead and stand and sing, and we're going to close out our service today with one final song. Let me ask song leaders to make their way to the front. And after this, if I can ask the parents to quickly collect their children from the classes as well. Thank you.